This is Matt Shapiro. Be sure to catch my man, biggest guy of them all, Dave Medina. Catch him in the city on Lock of the Week Radio. Be sure, baby.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play.
And it comes time. We know how Lincoln dies. You know, a tough spot with a bullet.
And as I speak to you, they are showing a Mongo USA fan at the World Baseball Classic chanting USA.
Actually, this Paul Davis a lot.
Ooh.
First thing you've got to mention here is the additions of Syracuse and Pitts, which is like adding two turds to a lawn.
No one puts the WGCs in a Players' Championship anywhere on the same level as a major prank, so chill out with that.
I actually never knew what meme was, and I always thought it was just MA. And
I wonder what it is like living out there on Saturn.
She was gorgeous, man. This girl was really good looking. And I'm like, holy, is that so-and-so? And I'm seeing him doing a body shot offer, and he's hammered. He turns around, he's like, I love this place.
You know, round apple with the Orioles lettering on it.
They should put the Orioles one in the river.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
I think May is the prime month for fruit. I think so. Prime month for fruit, May. Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big special Tuesday show. We can't be here on Wednesday. I will be attending my sister's graduation from college, but glad to have you with us tonight on a Tuesday from Santa Monica. The sun setting, the wind chilling, much cooler than it was, I think, than it was a week ago when we came on air, and it was just so hot. Remember that? I mean, it was so hot. Random Questions Hour was a struggle. I will tell you that up front. It was really, really tough getting through that hour with no air conditioning in the house, windows open, but no relief. It felt like a sauna in there doing that shit that hour, and it was crazy. But we'll do the hour today and have much, much more favorable conditions for us here in the studio. So Kevin on the Cape will join us in hour two for Random Questions. Glad to have you with us. And amidst the fruit here in the month of May, a beautiful month to get fruit of any kind. I have a bowl of grapes and strawberries, and I also ate some apricots and peaches this afternoon. It's great. It is really a great time to be alive. The fruit of the NBA draft is what gets decided tonight, and the results are in. We'll talk about that with our friend Jerry and Piscataway in just a moment or two as he watches his Yankees probably struggle against the game, even though they are doing reasonably well and probably in line to get first place anyway, regardless of what they're up to at the moment. So with that all on the table, we invite you to sit back, pull up a chair. Let's have some fun tonight on this podcast, which we'll do for the next 2 hours. We'll also be looking at the NBA playoffs, including the ongoing series between the Heat and the Pacers. The Heat are up by 6, 43-37. We are underway in the third quarter. We'll talk a little bit about the Western Conference playoffs with the Oklahoma City Thunder without Serge Ibaka. He's been ruled out for the playoffs, although many have said that he might return during the series. But for now, he's out, and it showed last night. The Spurs dominate the Indiana Pacers and win that one going away at home. Game 2 of that series should be coming up tomorrow, and we'll have more from that. Well, maybe not tomorrow. Maybe it'll be Thursday. But we'll have more from that series to talk about as well. And in the world of hockey, just a couple quick comments as with respect to the Stanley Cup playoffs. First of all, the New York Rangers being up 2-0 going to Montreal to beat them in those two games, after coming back from a 3-1 series deficit and defeating the Penguins. That really doesn't get any better than that if you're a Ranger fan. That's a team that usually will not, that usually isn't prone to taking commanding series leads like that. And it's not a team that's been known to win game sevens on the road with that kind of, with that kind of expectation. So it's a surprise to be sure, and they look just incredible. Like, their offense has just come back. It's really impressive. I don't want to say anything further. I've been staying away from Ranger comments for the most part. I don't want to jinx this because they look good. And I said it to my friend last night. I said, Montreal, down 2-0 going to the Garden. Now, I think Montreal could actually win the two games at the Garden. I really do. I'm not even joking. That's not a joke. I'm not just saying that to say it. I think they really could do that. But but in terms of the just the sheer series outlook right now, they is in trouble. They are in trouble. I mean, 2-0, and you've got two road games. The Ducks were able to do that in the last series against the Kings, which we'll cover in a minute. And they came back and they tied the series up anyway. But I was thinking it's one thing to do that when you're talking about two teams that are right next to each other practically in the area and where home is road. Like, road is home. Because both stadiums, the Kings and Ducks are so familiar with it, with their fellow team's stadium and arena, that I don't think playing on the road is really that big of a difference for either the Ducks or the Kings. So, naturally, you saw that series get itself tied up when, even though both teams won their respective road games in games 1-4. So, a little different scenario with the Canadians coming down to the Garden. I really think the Canadians will win game 3, though. I think they're going to win game 3. But then what happens in game 4 is going to get very interesting. What will they do there? That's the one that you really want to watch. Game 3, I think, is going to happen. I think they'll win game 3, and then game 4, then it gets really interesting. But just what is the reason that the Rangers are where they are? Great defense. And just a sudden surge in scoring. Rick Nash is scoring goals. You've got Chris Kreider making crazy plays. You had Brian Boyle score a goal somewhere in that Pittsburgh series. Still can't believe that. And better power play. And Henrik Lundqvist living up to his billing. I mean, he's just been amazing. Simply amazing. Just being a game stopper. Literally a game stopper. Blocking shots that a lot of other goaltenders couldn't reach. Some can. I'll get to that in a minute. That in just a moment. But you just got to tip the cap at this point. I don't think the Canadians are out of this yet. But man, wow! It's surprising as all heck to me. So the other half of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the West Final, Kings, Blackhawks. Blackhawks had the first win of the series, and you would think it's the same thing that happened last year, except it was a much, much closer game, and the Kings really had more than a few chances to tie it up. So I spoke a little too soon when I went on Twitter and said that I wish the series was more competitive. This game was pretty close. 3-1 Chicago, your final, but it was really just tight all the way to the very end. So the Kings actually played pretty well from period 2 on, and now to see whether they can finally get a road win in Chicago in the playoffs. The Blackhawks haven't lost a playoff game at home this year. So, quite a roll they are on. Streaks are certainly made to be broken, but that's a tough place to play. It didn't really occur to me how loud the fans at United Center really got, because that seems such a cavernous place. Like, how loud could that really get? It gets loud. I mean, on TV, you can see the place just being deafening when the Blackhawks get really good. And that's the thing I always thought was really interesting, just how loud it got. Because I was taken by surprise how loud it got. I've forgotten, you know, it's been a while since I watched the Blackhawks play until the playoffs. And seeing him in the playoffs, I mean, those guys get really loud for their team, and that's pretty good. I mean, it shows you how good the Chicago fan is. It's been a lot of fun. Great defense all around. It really comes down to a bounce here and there, and Chicago got those bounces in Game 1. Game 2 is tomorrow. And we won't get to cover that on the podcast, but it should be a good time. The Kings getting to this point. Let's review. They came from a 0-3 series deficit, won 4 games in a row, including 2 in San Jose. And part of that was the pivotal, decisive Game 7. That just completely blew them away. And that gets followed up by winning 2 games on the road in Anaheim. One in overtime where they were basically down the whole game until Marian Gaborik tied the game with 7 seconds left. They actually outdid the Ducks, who tied a game with 40 seconds left at Dallas to win their series to get to the same round. Unbelievable. That's game one of the semifinal round. They win in overtime. Gabrick with the game winner in the overtime two, and that was part of two wins that they won on the road. Then they fall behind 3-2, losing three straight games. They had to defend their turf win at LA game six. They went to Anaheim. I happened to be in the building watching that one with my friend Kevin. Kevin from Torrance, who you also know as Floyd Merriweather on the board. We watched that one together, and just what we saw was just completely unexpected. The Kings just fully dominated that first period, and there's really, except for a minor spurt in the third period, really no looking back. And so the Kings just dismantled the Ducks at the end, and just a tremendous job by the Kings after the game to stay around and salute Teemu Selanne. That was really cool because that turned out to be Teemu Selanne's final NHL game. So that's pretty cool history to be associated with on the part of the Kings, the Ducks, and even me being in the stands for that one, and my friend Kevin too. We could all watch that one unfold. It was really great. So hockey is really the state of the moment in LA sports, but it's probably not what a lot of people are talking about. What people are talking about right now, the draft lottery. The Lakers tanked the whole season, had a terrible season, and the best they could get them was a seventh pick in the draft. And, you know, when you think about all those terrible games, all those embarrassing losses to the Clippers and the likes of all the other best teams in the NBA, and you think back to all that, and then you look at what they got, the seventh pick. The Celtics did better than them. The Jazz did better than them. They barely edged out the Kings. I mean, when you... Basically, it's saying that the Lakers are the seventh worst team in the NBA. What is that saying about the NBA? There are six teams worse than that. I mean, that season was abysmal. And you go from that to being only the seventh worst team in the NBA. And now it's all based on ping pong balls and all that, but that really is saying something. And the math set it out so that they could not get the fourth and fifth pick whatsoever. I don't have an explanation for that. So either it was going to be 1, 2, 3 or 7. Maybe 6. It ended up with 7. So worst case scenario for the Lakers. Because apparently they couldn't get lower than 7th. Worst case scenario was get the 7th pick in the draft, and that's exactly what happened. So that just did not work out the way that people had hoped for the LA Lakers. What can you do with a 7th pick in this year's NBA draft? You can do some good things. You won't get a franchise player, but I still feel like it's going to be a good pick. I still contend that it shouldn't be traded. But certainly, trading wouldn't be like a franchise-defining moment at this point. Because 7th, I mean, who was the last 7th pick in the NBA to be a Hall of Famer? We're going to have to do some research on that one, because I'd like to know. I mean, Shaq, first, you know, James Worthy, first, Magic, first, Michael Jordan, I think he was third. But nobody was drafted 7th and ended up being a Hall of Famer, as far as I know. Kevin Durant was drafted like 2nd or 3rd. I mean, nobody was drafted 2nd. I'm 7th. So, no, the Lakers did not end up winning the draft today. The winner was the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they got the first pick. Milwaukee was 2nd. Philadelphia was 3rd. Orlando was 4th. Utah was 5th. What do they all have in common? They all suck. I mean, these teams have been bad for like 5 years. I am... It's just incredible that they keep getting here. The draft is supposed to make you better. And the Cavs are just as bad as they were 5 years ago. I mean, what is the difference here? It's just stupid. It's just hard to imagine. So anyway, that's the NBA draft in a nutshell. Now, sorry to keep him on hold for so long, but we now bring to the program our first guest of the evening. He hails from Central New Jersey. He is the most interesting man in New Jersey, Jerry in Piscataway.
Hey, V, what's going on, man? How are you tonight?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? Oh, my goodness. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. I'm glad that you had time to join us here on the show. What's new with you?
No, same old stuff. Glad to be back on the show. Same old nonsense, man. Just getting ready for the summer, working my ass off, and so busy at work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Nothing too crazy. Being off the wall by my Yankees every other night, and that's about it.
I mean, it's just we've gone through this again with the Yanks. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to hear about the home that you bought. So you're going back to Belmar? Am I hearing that correctly?
Going back to Belmar, man.
I love it.
Back to Belmar.
Now, is it the same house or just a house that's like it?
No, it's actually it's different. It's about 3 blocks away from our old house. But our old house, because we were right around the corner from the beach, we really didn't have a front yard or a backyard or anything like that. It was just the location was really good. Here, sure, we have a front yard, a backyard, about 3 blocks from everything, 4-bedroom. We're kind of in the middle. It's about 3 blocks towards DJ's and the beach, about 3.5 blocks the other way to Bar A. We have this bar called PK's about, you know, 2 blocks, 3 blocks from our house. It does, like, a breakfast bingo every Sunday. So it should be an eventful summer. We have 8 guys in the house, and should be madness again.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're that close to DJ's and everything. That's a great location.
Boomer Carton are going to be there on Friday, Bird.
There you go. That's big news. I was pleasantly shocked to hear that that FAN was actually going to do something at DJ's, because you talked about it forever. This is big news.
I'm shocked. At first, I could have sworn when the news broke that Boomer and Carton were going down the shore, I could have sworn they were going to Jenkinson. And I was convinced that's where they were going. I think they actually might have been going to Jenkinson. They might have had to get a switch. I'm driving into work maybe a week and a half ago last week or something, and I hear that they're going to DJ's. I start going nuts. I live at that place. You know, I'm there, you know, Friday night. I'm there Saturday for happy hours. I'm there Sunday for Sunday fun day. It was a block from my old shore house. Like, that's like my stomping ground. So it's so funny that, you know, the guys who, I know everyone hates them, but I listen to them every morning. I like them. I think it's funny that they're actually going there. And I'm moving in on Friday, and I'm going to try to get down there fairly early, and hopefully I'll still catch them while they're down there.
Wow, Weiss, you're getting it going now. This is big time. This is big time. Ready to go.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend starts Friday, V.
I love it. Yeah, big weekend to kick it off. Anything you have planned for that weekend?
Just a bunch of partying. Friday, probably go to happy hour and then go out to DJ's at night. Saturday, go to DJ's happy hour, then headliners at night. Sunday, do breakfast bingo, and then who knows where at night. And then, I don't know, Monday we're going to go to this pool party. It's going to be a pretty eventful weekend, pretty busy weekend. Usually the holiday weekends are the busiest of the year. It's usually like 4-day weekends. So, you know, Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July, and Labor Day weekend are spend a lot of money, do a lot of partying, and takes a long time to recover. So this weekend should be pretty crazy. I see the weather is not being cooperative right now, which could put a damper on it. But the weather turns around and it's nice. It should be a really good weekend.
You know, I did hear about rain in the forecast this week. Is it raining now, or is that going to happen over the weekend? Which was it going to be?
Today was beautiful. Today was absolutely beautiful. It's supposed to rain from tomorrow until Saturday. So,
dang,
not looking good for Memorial Day weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Man, well, that definitely is not
killer.
Giving you the big finger there. That's not
definitely
a good start.
And last year it did the same thing. I drove down an absolute monsoon. The first 2 days it rained, and then it got nice, I think, on Sunday and Monday. But, I mean, I have no – all the clothes I bought are either tank tops or T-shirts for down there. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm going to wear, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, that's actually a good question. What are you going to pack for that sort of affair? You know, a lot of guys will do, like, vacation homes and such, and you really do it with style. And now I guess you're getting to a point, in life, where you wonder how many more years can you do such a thing? I mean, are you starting to feel a little bit of finality to it? I mean, how many more years do you think you would do such a thing?
I'm done. This is it. Last year was going to be my last year, but last year was one of the best summers of my life. I had an absolute blast. Living with your friends, just always something to do, being in the beautiful weather. And, you know, the nice thing about Belmar is, at least what I've noticed when I was down there, ages do range. I know a girl who's 30 who got a beach house with a bunch of her friends who are 30 and over. I know a lot of people who are older, you know, 28 to 33, 32. They got beach houses in Long Branch. But also you get the 21-year-olds, 22, 23-year-olds who, you know, might have just gotten their first job and they have the money to get their first shore house out of college. So it ranges, but I'm at the point now where, you know, I've done a lot of partying. You know, this summer is going to be my last summer, and then I want to settle down and, you know, get on with my life. Work's going to get busier. I'm going to be traveling more for work, so figure this will probably be my last hurrah as far as getting a shore house. But I plan on in the future, you know, taking some more trips, going to see different places, and, you know, kind of doing that kind of thing, and, you know, kind of leave the college frat house partying type that we do in the summer in my past.
Well, I kept growing up, but one last hurrah. I like it. You know, it's kind of like Derek Jeter's final year, Cap's final year of beach partying.
There you go. I mean, I'll still go down the shore. I just want to have a shore house. You know, but it is so much fun. I mean, you walk to the beach. I mean, you just sit in the beautiful weather. There's people all around, and you can walk right into happy hour. You know, at night you go to these clubs. I mean, it's just so much fun. You meet so many new people. And it's just a great experience. But I'm getting to that age now where, I mean, it's time. I feel like it's time for my money and my time to go to a better use. And I think that this is going to be it.
You know, that's cool. That's cool. I think it'll be a good place to end. You can get it off on a high note. I think it's pretty neat. So, I mean, it's a unique experience. Something I've certainly haven't really tried. I've never really thought of doing anything quite like that. And so the memories you get from an experience of being in a beach house for that many months.
Definitely.
Oh, I mean, it's irreplaceable, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I never went away to college. You know, I stayed around college around, you know, my area. Rutgers was, you know, freaking 10 minutes from my house. The two colleges I went to were 15, 20 minutes from my house. So I never had that experience of going and living with a bunch of people and doing some things like that. And, you know, last year, like I said, it was just a lot of fun. And you're right, it's a great bonding experience for you and your friends. You guys have memories and stories that you'll be telling, you know, 20 years from now. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. It's going to, you know, hopefully be a good last summer. And we're going to make it worth your while. I mean, if you talk to some of the guys on the board who, you know, go down, you know, Belmar and DJ, it's like a different world down there. I mean, you go to DJ's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's a rage fest. I mean, they close all the blinds. They have the DJ pumping. There's napkins flying. The lights are all over the place. I mean, just like a different world down there. And, you know, I know you're here for a limited time and you're going to be in New York. You're going to be in Connecticut. But it would be, I think you would have just a great experience is going down and checking out what a day Jersey Shore is like. And those TV shows and everything, it doesn't do it justice. I mean, there's a lot more than what they show in the shows of everyone getting drunk. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful places to go, beautiful places to eat. You know, the club scene obviously is great. So, I mean, I think if you ever had the opportunity to go down there in the summer, you know, I'd definitely be able to show you a good time and show you what it's like to live in a shore house for a day. I mean, we have barbecues out on our front lawn. We play drinking games. You know, we play cornhole. I mean, we do a lot of things. We just have a lot of fun. I think it was something you would enjoy.
That's pretty cool. Jerry and Piscato. That's pretty cool, buddy. Jerry and Piscataway is our guest tonight. I'm Dave Medina. We are rolling through our first hour at 7:24. We have topics on the table, but really, this is about the kid and the cow tonight. It's just the two of us chatting. So if you are looking
for... I like that, Dave. I like the kid and the cow.
Yeah.
I like that. that could be our segment. That could be what it's called.
I like it, yeah. A regular feature on the program, the kid and the cow. Going after it here,
I like it.
On the podcast. So
I dig, Vert. I dig.
I love it. You know, it's just great. I'm looking forward to catching up with you in person, hopefully, as the summertime approaches. And when that time comes, it's going to be a really good to, you know, see what's new and, see how things are going. It should be fun. And it's interesting to me.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to the 20th. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be good. That'll be good. And
you'll be able to see me in my element, Dave. You'll be able to see me at a Yankee game.
I can't imagine there's anything like it.
Can you hear, like, when I'm on hold, could you hear me or no?
When I'm on hold? Oh, no, I can't hear.
When I'm on hold for your show.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hear me, right?
No, I can't hear you. It's muted, so I don't hear what you're saying.
All right, good, because I was screaming at my radio for the 10 minutes that I was on the phone with you. The Yankees are absolutely pissing me the fuck off tonight.
What's the score?
4-1.
Who are they playing, though? I'm sorry. I'm just
Tanaka
so out of it.
Tanaka doesn't have it. The Cubs fucking suck. Tanaka does not have it tonight. A lot of hard hit balls, a lot of balls hit over outfielders' heads. He just doesn't have it tonight.
Wow. Yeah, the Cubs are not. Yeah, the Cubs are terrible. But such is life, Caps. It'll happen. I mean, the best.
Yeah.
It'll happen to the best of them, or the worst of them.
He wasn't gonna go 24-0, you know.
No, I mean that's the thing. I mean, certainly it would. It's surprising that the first loss could go to the Cubbies, but that's what baseball is. It's not always exact.
Yeah. And the Yankees offense, they just shit their pants way too many times. I mean. Fucking Brett Gardner sitting on third base with one out. They're giving you a goddamn run. Jacoby Ellsbury hit a ground fucking ball to the right side of the infield and you score a run. He pops up to the fucking shortstop. Thank God Mark Teixeira was actually playing really, really well, lined a single up the middle. But it's those little things that piss me off about this fucking team. They're horrible with situational baseball. They go into slumps way too much. The whole goddamn offense is streaky. One week they'll look like world beaters, and the next week they could look like the worst team in baseball. They're just way too inconsistent for me, Dave. And they're lucky the division is not dominating because their talent level and they're 60% of the rotation on the DL, throwing out guys like Vidal Nuno every 5 days and David Phelps every 5 days. I mean, they're just not – talent-wise, they're not there. I mean, I think it's all going to even out at the end. I mean, after tonight they'll be only 2 games over 500. They're not – a team that's going to go 10, 15 games over 500 anytime soon. It's just, I don't know, Dave. I think Brian Cashman made some pretty shit moves in the offseason, and I don't know. I'm just not.
I don't know.
With good reason, I'm not confident about this team right now.
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm not quite convinced that they're going to avoid the 10 to 15 high water mark. I think they will eventually get the 10 to 15 wins over 500.
Oh, I said not anytime soon. I mean, they could get. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think they're going to fuck around for a little while. I mean, they're going to be 2 games. They're going on a road trip now in Chicago. Now, granted, they're going to miss Jose Abreu, but you're playing on the road. This is not the Yankee team of old, where they're not a bully team. They won't go and beat up and run off 5-6 in a row against teams they should. They'll lose a game here, 2-3 games in that span. So I don't think that they're going to get off and running anytime soon. I don't think they have the pitching to string together a run like that. I don't think they have the offense to string together a run like that. We'll see what happens down the road. I mean, I think Carlos Beltran, I think it's going to be a wasted year. I think if he gets the surgery, he's not going to play until sometime in August. I think if he doesn't get the surgery, A, he's not going to be right. B, he's going to be in and out of the lineup. And C, I think he'll eventually get the surgery and then be lost for the year. So I think he's a complete clusterfuck this year. The rotation, CC's out until July. Michael Pineda, that guy can't stand the goddamn mound. And then you got the fill-ins. I mean, it does not look good, Dave. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, and I mean, the only thing with the Eastern Division in the American League is that who's going to step up and win this division? It doesn't look like it's the Rays.
I agree.
Look like it's, and I don't. I'm not buying into. We together are not buying into Baltimore. So,
no.
Who's stepping up?
The Blue Jays, I think, are good. The Blue Jays, I hated them in the beginning of the year because I didn't think they could pitch. But Dickey's been okay, and Mark Burley's been phenomenal. I thought he was done. And that offense can absolutely mash. So, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the saving grace, and I think they'll be in it, you know, for most of the year because the East, nobody's going to be running away with it. But that being said, I don't think that they're a legitimate contender for a deep playoff run if they even – get to the playoffs. And that's kind of where I'm getting at. When you spend $500 million in the offseason and have a $200 million-plus payroll, and you have two extra wild card teams and you're still in jeopardy to make the playoffs, that's kind of what pisses me off. But I guess you can't fight injuries. Injuries happen. I think if they were completely healthy with Nova, Ceci, and Pineda, they'd obviously have a much better team. So can't really fault anybody on the injuries, and that's kind of where we stand right now.
Indeed, and that's the basically how it looks in the division. Some of these divisions are not going exactly as planned, but I will say with respect to my division, the NL West, I'm not terribly surprised to see it where it is. Dodgers are right around 500.
You called it.
I said, you know, I just didn't know what to expect from. Well, I mean, it was going to take a while for this team to get it in gear, and I think one thing I was looking at was the bullpen. And it's terrible right now. It is bad. It just plain sucks.
Yeah.
They cannot hold leads. Jansen's fine. It's not Jansen. It's just everybody else. Like, they can't get the ball to him enough. And so the Giants have a really good bullpen in the early going. I think they have the lowest ERA in the NL. And their offense is much better the past years. So they are in the lead right now. And Colorado...
I don't watch the Dodgers much. I mean, I read about...
You probably watch it more than me.
I have not watched the Dodgers much, but you need to tell me, because you're a Dodgers guy. You follow on a daily basis.
Right.
I look at this Dodgers team, and I see Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw at the head of the rotation, backfucking with guys like Ryu.
Yep.
And then I see D. Gordon lead the NL in steals. Does he lead all of baseball in steals, Dave?
You know, he's definitely off to... I mean, I saw his number. It was really...
He might be leading all baseball in steals. You got Yasiel Puig. You got Carl... I mean, not Carl Crawford. You got Hanley Ramirez. And you got Matt Kemp. I mean, your offense should be able to produce runs. Your starting rotation should be able to not give up runs. What is the deal in Dodgertown? Is it really...
It's not the offense. I mean,
lead on every night, or...
No, well, see, I can't, you know, you probably, I'm not watching the games either, to be honest with you, because I can't. I'm being blocked from watching my own team because of that.
That's right, and that's awful. I don't know how you do that. I would be
beside
myself. I don't know what I would do.
Because I have other sports, so I probably wouldn't really make a big deal. I kind of have, but I wouldn't make a huge deal out of it until... My other teams are not in contention, so the Kings are still playing, so that's why I haven't really, it hasn't eaten alive at me yet, but it's getting there, because it's like, you know, you have those nights where there's no playoff game. Friday's going to be an example of one.
Yeah.
Like Friday has no NHL or NBA, and it'd be like, well, that'd be a good time to watch Dodgers, and I can't. It's just weird. Like,
That's crazy. That blows my mind, Dave. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. I mean, the best part to me about baseball is it's a different storyline every night. You know, it's kind of like a 162-game soap opera. You follow your team to the ups, the downs, and that's why I get so emotionally invested, because I follow the team on a daily basis. I'm not watching the game. I'm reading about previous games or future games, and it's just, you know, you get so enthralled in the team for, you know, X amount of months, and I think that's the best part about baseball. You know, basketball, obviously – you know, the games are a little bit spread out. There's not games every night. But, you know, baseball, pretty much every night, it's a different story. And I love that. I think that's great. The fact that you guys in L.A., you actually have a very good baseball team, and you can't follow them on a daily basis is just mind-blowing. I don't know. Somebody's being a clown out there. I don't know what's going on.
You know, and what's funny about that whole blackout is that it might actually be working for the Dodgers in the sense that it's more people would probably be really angry at the Dodgers right now if they were able to see these games, because they are blowing leads up the wazoo. I mean, why are they bad? I mean, it really does amount to the pitching. I think the bullpen has just been abysmal. I mean, even when they get a lead, and sometimes they just get blown out from the get-go. I think it was the Saturday game. Was it Saturday? No, it may have been Sunday. There was a game. I think, this is Saturday. There was a game where they were like, they lost like 12-7 or something like that, and they were down 8-0 in that game against Arizona. Arizona is not a good baseball team.
That blows my mind.
I thought
that team would be absolutely loaded this year. I mean, I looked it up and down that lineup. I looked at the top two starters, two of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yep.
This is unbelievable.
It's really two things, Jerry. It's not... It really... The starters... First of all, Kershaw was out for about a month and a half. He didn't even play because he had the back... His back flared up, so he was on the DL for a month. Part one. But part two...
Right. Is
that the bottom end of the rotation is extremely poor. Extremely poor. Paul Mulholland...
Who are your four and five?
Paul Mulholland and I... Depending right. on the day, Josh Beckett. So, those are not...
Jesus Christ.
It's not good. These are not good pitchers. And Beckett had a good start, though, I must say. His first month was actually pretty good.
Did he?
Yeah. He was like maybe around a 3 ERA for the first month of the season. He actually had a good start. But you can't trust him. He's old. He's wearing down. He might even win tonight against the Mets.
They're up 6-4 right now, I believe, right?
Yeah, they were up 6-4 when we went on air. I don't know what the score is right now.
Okay.
Let's look. When you don't have your team available to watch, it takes your enthusiasm for the season out. I mean, I just don't care. I just haven't been paying attention lately. You know?
Sure. That sucks. But, I mean, you went to the Kings game 7. That must have been awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Kid was pumped. That was a great time. I was really... never been to game 7 before. I don't know if... Have you been to game 7? Before?
Have I been to a game 7?
In any sport. Game 7.
I don't believe so. I went in the... I'm so dumb. I think I've told this story before. I had a chance to either go... I don't know how this worked. I was a senior in high school at the time. And the guy that got us tickets to the Yankees, Red Sox, ALCS, was saying that I can get you game 1 or game 7. And I said, game 7? It might not be a game 7. I don't want to go to the game. I don't know if he was lying to me or what. I didn't know if game 7 tickets were even available then. I didn't know how that worked, but that's what he said. He goes, I can get you game 1 or game 7. I said, I want to go to game 1. Yankees lost game 1. Ortiz went deep, and we all know what happened in game 7 that year. You know, Aaron Boone. So I fucked up royally there.
Wow.
And, no, I've never been to a game 5 for the Yankees or a game 7.
That is
never done it.
That is crazy. You came close. So that's an interesting subplot, subtext.
I'm pretty. To this day, I kick myself because that would have been an unbelievable experience. I don't know. I can't even put into words how elated I would have been at that ball game. I mean, it would have just been pure satisfaction for at that time the rivalries at a fever pitch. Both teams absolutely detested each other. Fans hated each other. I went to game 1, there were fights almost every inning. And that's when Yankee Stadium was Yankee Stadium. You know, that was when, you know, when you come to New York, you know you're coming to New York. You don't have little fucking sissy sipping wine behind home plate. You know, you're in New York. You're wearing a Red Sox hat. You're going to get, someone's going to tell you that Boston sucks or go the fuck back to Boston. No one's going to be sitting there sipping Chardonnay with you. You know what I mean? That's when Yankee Stadium was Yankee Stadium. I think I told the story today that I went to a Yankees-Cubs game a couple weeks ago during the makeup when Tanaka pitched. And sitting first row down the left field line. And, we were heckling Junior Lake. No cursing at all. Nothing derogatory about him, his family. Just, you know, we're in your head, blah, 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 stuff like that. He misplayed a Gardner double. And, you know, we're in your head. We had ushers come down to our section. You guys can't yell at the players. You guys got to stop. Are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
This is New York. This is supposed to be a tough place to play, and we can't yell at the players? That stadium, I'll get delirious about that fucking place right now, so I don't even want to get into it. But, Dave, I said to the lady, I said, are you kidding me? I said, we're in New York. We can't jockey the players. Are you kidding me? And she said, you guys can't yell at the players. Do it again. We're going to have to kick you out. I told our whole section. You gotta be kidding. I remember going to the old stadium and the whole section singing songs and chanting at fucking outfielders and nobody saying a word. The ushers were laughing. This place is a fucking joke. Monument Park's buried. They have a moat. There's no noise. Everything costs $1 million. They couldn't have messed up that place if they wanted to. Lon Truss is lost. Randy Levine is lost. I can't even get into it, Dave. Let's switch the subject.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Captain No Fun seems to run.
But isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Like, that's just crazy.
It is.
And we weren't cursing. I could see we were yelling, you know, F you and your mother's a bitch. So we were not even cursing. I mean, it was all pretty much in good fun. And it's crazy. I couldn't believe it.
That really takes the spirit out of a game, honestly. I mean, that's your taking the character right out, if there whatever character there was, right out of that stadium. I mean, beautiful
facility.
Yeah, and
with the bleacher creatures, after they would do the roll call, they would chant box seats suck because, you know, you're away from the game, you're sitting in a box. And I think they told Balvinie they couldn't do that anymore. So they can't chant box seats suck after the roll call anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
This happened years ago, but
yeah.
I'm telling you, the Yankees become more of a joke every day.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny thing. I mean, you know, I know we've often talked about the Yankees' success and the bandwagon and all that, but the stadium was a stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember. I mean, it was always certainly an heir to the franchise, but the stadium definitely had its own character. And it's funny. You wouldn't think that it would lose that character just from moving to a different building, but it seems like it. Not just that, but the administration seems to have made an adjustment. You know, that's all I want to say. I don't want to say anything further.
I wish you had a chance to go to Old Yankee Stadium. I mean,
I did go. I went. It was
a big game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for a big game, yeah.
You went?
Well, I went, but I went during the middle of the year. It was back in 2008.
What did you think?
Well, kind of tight. I remember how tightly packed it was. It was hard to move because it was so everything was so small. Like the concourses were so small. But I loved the vibe. There was incredible. Everybody was so loud. It was just, it was the middle of the day game against the Tampa Bay Rays. That was the year the Rays went to the World Series. But the Yankees won that game. I remember it being a little
okay.
I remember it being humid.
You went in 08, the last. No, you went in 08, right?
Yeah, 08, final year, old Yankee Stadium. I remember that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow, that's great. That's great.
It was definitely cool. Like, you could feel some of that history rubbing off on the Yankees. It looked like an old place to me. Like, that was my impression of it. Like, this place looks old, but it was very...
The thing I liked about Yankee Stadium, like, if you when you're walking to the concourse now,
mm-hmm.
like, you can see the field, like, as soon as you pretty much walk into the stadium.
Right.
When you walk into Old Yankee Stadium and you're looking for your seats, everything's concrete. You go down like a concrete hallway.
Yep.
And you get to the end of that hallway, and all you see is this beautiful green field. And it just was like, as a kid walking in there, it just gave you, I can't even explain, it just gave you a feeling. When you walk through that concrete hallway where your left, your right, there's concrete, and you walk out of that hallway and you just see this big, beautiful field. I mean, it just gave you some kind of a feeling, and it was I love that park. I've been there for many playoff games, and the setting, you know, back in 03 and 02 and 01 in the playoff games, and, you know, you're sitting there before the game. The stadium was packed before the game, not like now where people start coming to their seats in the second inning. Stadium was packed. You hear Bob Shepard over the loudspeaker, ladies and gentlemen, you know, welcome to Yankee Stadium, and the flash bulbs and pretty much the fans in right field or right on the field. I mean, there's no moat, so, you know, the people are pretty much right on the field. I mean, it was just I loved it. There was just an air and about that place and aura about that place that I thought was special, and I didn't think I would miss it this much, Dave. I really, really missed that place.
You know, your new stadium could have captured at least a good percentage of that vibe if it was designed better. I mean, just because a stadium is new doesn't mean it's going to be lifeless. You have to plan it. You can plan it. I mean, the Seahawks stadium, we talked about this already. I mean, the Seahawks stadium is great.
Yeah.
Staples is great. I love, people were complaining about Staples acoustics for concerts. And I was like, I went to this concert there at Staples. I went to two concerts at Staples. I mean, it's not going to be like, you know, the Madison Square Garden or anything, but it's not bad. I mean, some people are just too picky. But the stadium is great. I mean, when you have a big game and something serious happens, you can feel it. It's a big feeling. So you can make it work. But if you don't put the priority on a good game experience, it dies.
Yeah. And it's sad because, you know, coming to New York was supposed to be an intimidating place to play. And, you know, when you come to Yankee Stadium, you know, not to sound, you know, I don't know. People would always say, you know, and they made a bigger deal when they came to play in Yankee Stadium. Now, it's not where Babe Ruth played. It's not the Yankee Stadium of old. It's not loud. It's not intimidating. I mean, there's nobody sitting in the seats around the bases. I mean, the legend seats are pretty much empty, so there's no noise coming from that. I mean, it's just it's not what it used to be, and I'm not asking for the stadium to exactly duplicate the old one, but like you said, it could have been done better. The atmosphere could have been better. Utter had a post today that was phenomenal. I mean, I couldn't agree with him enough after reading that post. I mean, it's a shame. You know, the way they buried Monument Park, I think, is an absolute joke. I mean, I just don't understand why they would do that. They're so, you know, in your face about their history, and then they pretty much bury it under a restaurant in center field, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, the park is beautiful in itself. Nobody can see it. I think it was great when you were able to see it, you know, from the old stadium. You know, kind of gave Yankee Stadium a touch of being unique. Now I don't think anything really is unique about, you know, the Yankee Stadium. I like the facade all around it, but it looks cheap. I mean, it doesn't look like, you know, the brass facade that was in the old place. So I don't know, Dave. I mean, and it doesn't look like any changes are coming anytime soon. So we're stuck with it. You just got to hope that the Yankees put a team on the field that's going to get people excited, going to pack the place, and hopefully get the atmosphere up a couple notches. Because right now, I mean, who really is going to, you know, be clamoring to go watch Vidal Nuno or David Phelps or guys like that? So I don't know. We'll see what happens in the near future.
We'll see what happens. As we put baseball onto the back burner for a moment, let's look at what's happening in the NBA and the NHL. First of all, we have an update from Indianapolis. The Pacers are currently up.
Yeah, what's going on in that game, B?
It looks like Pacers are hanging in there. They're up by one. They just gave up a three.
Whoa!
They're up by one. We have 8 minutes, eight or six? 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So Pacers. Okay. It have a legitimate chance to go up 2-0 in the series, and that's taken me by surprise.
And listen, I don't know who it was, maybe it was Van Gundy. Somebody made a point the other night that said, all right, the Pacers play the Hawks in the first round, you know, Pacers play the Wizards in the second round, they play the Heat. This is the team where I think it's the only team the Pacers would get up for. I think, you know, they put all the other bullshit aside, whatever's going on in that locker room, they put it aside. They really do not like the Heat, and they really got up for this team, and it showed the other night, and I guess it's showing tonight. I always thought the Pacers had the talent. I mean, they have big guys down low. I thought Paul George was good, and, you know, David West obviously can be trouble, and I don't know. They really went to a tailspin late in the year. I mean, holy shit, they almost lost a couple playoff series, and now they have a chance to go up 2-0 on the champs. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I thought the Western Conference Finals was going to be more interesting than the Eastern Conference Finals, but that might be reversed.
You know, it's really weird how that turned out. You're absolutely right. It's come almost like the complete opposite of that. The Pacers up by three at this point, 75-72.
Wow,
under five left. Let's check this out and see if they pull this off. So, Oh, go ahead, Cap. I'm sorry.
No, I said they might pull it off.
They could pull it off. I mean, I still think the Heat are going to win this series. I think even if they go down 2-0, they're still going to win. I think LeBron is going to be too good for this team. And, you know, again, they could even win tonight. It's certainly nobody's game at this point. Here they are with a ball, with a chance to take the lead. 4:20 left. Ooh! LeBron got fouled pretty hard by David West. I mean, he wouldn't get fouled that hard. LeBron may have put a little English on that. But he went face first to the floor. Are you watching this game? Can you see the game from where you are?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
So West has been ejected, or is he hurt? Well, I can't tell. Without sound.
Ejected.
Ooh, that's a pretty hard foul. But LeBron kind of added
a little bit. He's been ejected.
He did get ejected. So ejection for David West going after LeBron. I mean, it was a hard foul. I mean, right after him, straight across the chest.
I'm having
I don't think
my
that's a flagrant, though. I think it's just a hard...
Way.
He was going
no
after the ball. If you could see
this... My group chat's blowing up. I guess it was a bad call.
This is... he went after the ball. That's not a flagrant. That is not a flagrant.
Not even close to a flagrant.
That's not a flagrant. The ball... West comes after him. He has good position. He gets the ball. I mean, yeah, LeBron falls, but he kind of flopped on that, too.
Is that reviewable?
He could have. Most players, you get fouled in that situation. You know, you can't review flagrants. Like, you can. I don't think you can. Or maybe you can review. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, you can review that. Okay. Sorry. You can review that. Because they're showing the replay like 100 times. Like, they're showing. David West, LeBron did not have to fall on the ground. That was totally preventable. He added that himself, in my opinion. And I think, LeBron got right back up. He's fine. He's not hurt.
Listen, LeBron's freaking a 6'8 linebacker. I mean, you're going to have to really, really hit him to put him down. I mean, he flops. I mean, we all know that. He flops a lot.
Yeah,
so I'm not watching it, but I'm sure he did a little acting on that from what I'm reading in my group chat.
Yeah, I think I really think he added something into this because you wait till you see the play. If you see it pop up on NBA.com or something, wait till you see the play. I mean, you're gonna be like, that is not a flagrant.
Yeah, I'll watch the highlights tonight. I'm sure he'll come up.
Yeah, I don't think they called it a flagrant though because I see LeBron at the line. And everybody else is at the free throw line too. So that means there's no flagrant in play. So it looks like just a regular two shot foul. But I think West is ejected, unless the ejection is for something else.
That's crazy. NBA is rigged.
Yeah, that's a little bit. West, they reversed everything. There's West back on the court too.
Yeah, I figured that would happen.
Yeah, so they reversed the call.
How did the Cleveland Cavs get the number one pick, Dave? Tell me that.
Yeah, seriously. How'd they end up getting one again? What a terrible franchise. I mean,
they fucked up picking Anthony Bennett the last time.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can do a little bit better this time.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, can you get any stupider? They did get Kyrie Irving,
hey,
and he is good. He's a good player. But the Cavs continue to suck despite having the best pick every year. It's like, what is the point what is the point of the draft lottery if you're just going to end up still continuing to be bad?
And it's so bad. I thought the Cavs would take a step forward this year. I thought they'd be good and end up with a number one pick again. Crazy.
It is unbelievable. It really is.
But, I mean, listen, they have the number one pick. They have Kyrie Irving. They have Dion Waiters. It's going to be really interesting to see who they pick. And they're going to have a lot of cap space. I mean, I think it would be very intriguing if they were able to entice. I know it's never going to happen, but if LeBron went to the Cavs, they would have a better team than if LeBron stayed with the Heat, I think. I think Dwayne Wade, it's crazy. He looks like a shell of himself. I mean, during the regular season, he doesn't play that much. I mean, he's playing now in the playoffs, but you can just tell he's not moving, he's not quick. Ray Allen's getting older. I mean, they have no big guy. I mean, Udonis Haslem, come on. I mean, Chris Bosh is good. For all the shit Chris Bosh gets, he's really a guy that produces on that team. And I think if you went to another team, he definitely would be the number one option. But I think Kyrie Irving, Dion Waiters, his number one pick, and his advantage on LeBron James would be really exciting to watch.
It's unbelievable. And just going back to the game, since that foul call, the Heat have been scoring pretty much every basket. They are currently up.
Are they winning?
Oh, yeah, they're winning now. They are winning now. They are up by what? Okay, they won't show me the score. I don't have a clear line of sight with the screen, so I have to turn, bend over.
Listen, Vert, the NBA is rigged, bro.
Heat up 80-75. Yeah, I think that's going to do it.
God, are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you just tell me about a minute ago that the Cavs are up one? Not the Cavs. The Pacers were up one?
They were up one, I swear.
That's crazy. The Heat are going to go on to win this game.
I can't say I'm surprised. You know, first of all, I'm rooting for the Heat in this series anyway. I was getting a little fed up with the Pacers. being such a lollygag in the rest of the season. So it serves them right that they're losing here, personally speaking. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it goes in the NBA. It's like a team can't just have a series. There has to be shenanigans and other stuff that puts another team back in the series and makes it go like 6 or 7 games. So it's like you can never let the series play out straight up anymore. There's always something else that has to get in the way. And tonight it's that flagrant foul that wasn't. I mean, they can't touch LeBron now because now they're marks. And so LeBron's going to take a shot. It's a 3-point shot. Let me guess. He makes it. No, he misses. But he get the rebound. So, nah, this game's over. This game's over. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well. I mean, the Pacers had their chances.
Are you ready to come in on the 20th or what?
I'm ready. Let's make this happen. It's still about a month away. No, it's exactly a month away. Exactly a month. Oh, baby. And I mean baby.
It's going to be fun. We'll go. Me and I saw Utter at one of the bars across the street, I think, before a playoff game. I'm guessing that's where we'll go before this game. Maybe we'll do a little tailgate. I don't know, whatever the plans are. But it'll be a lot of fun, man. I mean, you'll be able to see the new Yankee Stadium for the first time. Now, you'll see it. It's a nice building. The exterior is really nice. Everything obviously is brand new, but then you'll see exactly what we're talking about with the atmosphere and just, you know, basically being a mall and all the restaurants and, you know, the lack of atmosphere. You'll see what we're talking about.
Aha. Yeah, I'll get to see it firsthand. That'll be good stuff.
We'll have a lot of fun, dude. We will have a lot of fun.
And it sounds like a good crowd's going to be there. About maybe a dozen people. Maybe a dozen people around there.
I was surprised about that. I thought maybe we'd get, you know, 4 or 5 of us, but a dozen, that's a really good turnout. And I saw on the list, I think, a couple guys who aren't even Yankee fans are coming, which is pretty cool. So, got to give them credit for that. So I don't know if I'd be doing the same thing, but that's pretty cool.
I dig, man. It should be fun. I look forward to meeting everybody. Some of you for the second time, and some others for the first time. So, it'll be good times.
Yeah, last time was a nice time too. We were out in New Brunswick, but this time will be a little bit more rowdy. We'll have a real good time. Last time, I remember the last time I met you guys, Dave. I don't think I slept the night before, and I was in Atlantic City, and I drank way too much. That night, honestly, Dave, was probably one of the craziest nights. It was the craziest night I've ever had in Atlantic City. Let's just say that. For as many times as I've been there, the night before the meetup was the craziest night I have ever had in Atlantic City.
It is truly amazing.
And I couldn't even drink at the meetup. If I drank at the meetup, I would have threw up all over the place.
Wow.
I was so hungover and out of it, but I still had a good time. But this time I'll be with it. We'll have a good time. We'll drink. We'll do some shots. We'll have a good time.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I remember you telling me about that. But that unbelievable night you had the night before, I am just in awe that you could have.
No idea.
Wow.
The kind of night I had that night. No idea. I could tell you privately. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say it on the podcast. It was insane. I just slept for an hour, and it was an insane night, man. I'll fill you in about it, you know, privately when we talk or something like that. But it was crazy, and I wasn't even gonna make it. And then I don't know who I was talking to on my cell phone at the time. I forget who it was, but they kind of ran off the names of everybody who was there. And I was like, you know what, I gotta go. It's right in my backyard. You know, how often do I get to see these guys? So I went out there and I had a good time. It was really good seeing everybody. And it was cool that it was at a place that I go to all the time, being in New Brunswick, so I felt obviously right at home. But it was fun. But this time is going to be awesome. We're going to have a blast.
Bread's 21 right now, right? I just want to double-check that. The bread man?
I'm not sure.
I'll check.
So.
I'll ask him. I'll ask him later. But really cool. It was great to catch up with you again, Jerry. I love chatting with you as always. The kid and the cow. We'll do it again sometime soon.
We will. Anytime you want, man. I'll be open to being on. We can talk NBA. We can talk baseball, obviously. Hopefully we can do kind of a mid-season thing around the All-Star break where
what kind of see where our predictions were, how right we were, how wrong we were, and kind of make a second half predictions with some bets, something like that.
I love it. I love it. Good. All right, buddy. Well, keep it real. Enjoy your house. Good luck with the move on Friday. We'll catch up down the road.
Thank you, V.
All right, buddy.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. That's Jerry and Piscataway joining us on the show, and that takes us right into hour number two. No top of hour ID tonight. We're just going to go straight into this. And we're going to keep following this Pacers game until it comes to its conclusion. But the Heat are up by 7 with only a minute 5 left. That's pretty much it. Now, I would normally, under circumstances of the past, I would be upset about this. But I think I'm pretty happy tonight because it serves the Pacers right. I mean, you go the rest of the game without scoring a point and you let a thing like a bogus call, which ended up getting reversed anyway, thwart you the rest of the game. I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to intimidate LeBron. I'm not saying don't make a hard foul, but, you know, but you've got to maintain mental composure beyond that call. You're going to get hosed. I mean, things happen. They'll slot in different refs to try to play the cards against you. It just happens. It's all part of the game. You just aren't going to get away with scoring 77 points and winning an NBA game. And it's just definitely not going to happen in the playoffs. So when you talk about the East Finals, you got to step up your game offensively. I mean, they were doing fine in the first quarter and then got away from it. Got to give the Heat a lot of credit for their defensive effort in that fourth quarter, but it just never seemed to me like they had that thing locked, you know? It seemed to me like there was always a shot at that the Pacers would come back. One moment, please. I had to, it's so stupid, I have to check my oven here on the podcast. Dave and City, Locks of the Week Radio from Santa Monica tonight. How are you doing tonight? Hope everybody's doing well. 424-258-9251. I had to check the oven because last time I cooked fish, which was yesterday, I left the oven on after I took the fish out of the oven, and it was stuck on 350. It was still going for like another 20 minutes. And I said, oh, no. Man, it's going to bring the gas bill up and everything. And so I had to turn it off. And so tonight I was thinking about that as we ended hour one. And I went back there and I was looking at it and I'm like, I better make sure that the oven's off. And it was. So I did turn it off this time correctly. But baking fish is a big thing now. I baked fish 2 nights in a row. I won't do it again the rest of the week, but it was really good. And really, life can be as simple as a baked salmon. You take a piece of salmon and bring it home, and you add some seasoning, and you put it in the oven for 15 minutes at 350, cover it in foil, and you end up with terrific food. And I've had it 2 nights in a row. The second night was a stuffed salmon fillet, which the store did. The store stuffed it with a stuffing that had crab and lobster in it. Really good. And so I had that for dinner tonight, and we are ready to roll. So we're looking forward to a good second hour with our friend Kevin on the Cape. Good times ahead. Seeing that our friend Kevin on the Cape hasn't quite arrived, let's go ahead and take our top of our ID after all. Here we go. Well, we will be back in just a moment. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. It's 8:03. And we're back! Kevin on the Cape has just joined us. So let's now get to America's favorite moment in summer sports talk podcasting.
To the dance! It's time for random questions.
Good stuff!
In the city with Kevin on the Cape.
And now, from Massachusetts, here's Kevin on the Cape. What's going on, Kevin?
Wow, that was a very different introduction, Dave. I like it.
So threw a little NBA PA. Yeah, it was pretty good. I think glad you liked it. Yeah, I was a little pumped up there. I was a little pumped up. I was ready to go roll. I am pumped. This is my favorite. This is my favorite time of the year. You can make a case for October, and that's terrific too. But it's just where things come together. That's where May is, and June is too. So I've got some fish questions for you. But before I do that, let me ask about what's new with you. What have you been up to, Mr. Kevin?
Well, absolutely, just a complete working fool, Dave.
Wow.
Just nonstop. 75, 80 hours a week. It's been rough. It's been rough. I actually just walked in the door. That's why I was calling you a couple minutes late.
Wow. Gee, my goodness. Yeah, you deserve some rest. Are you sitting at the moment? Do you sit when you call me? Like, do you stand? What do you usually do?
No, I sit.
Good. That's good.
I sit only because it's my only time of the day that I actually do get to sit.
Right. It's a busy job over at the fish market. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, we open the rest couple of the restaurants and we're short staffed, so I went straight from the market to running the raw bar at one of our restaurants. So I went straight from doing 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock at the market, drove straight up to the raw bar. Closed at like 10:30. Cleaned up, took off, got home literally a minute ago.
Holy cow! That's a long night. I remember you used to wear.
That's a long day.
Yeah, long day, long night, long everything. But I am glad that you had time to spend with us tonight, despite such a long work day.
Absolutely.
It's the best. So with fish, I was thinking about my daily rounds. I cooked fish two nights in a row. But my question to you
is... Nice.
Oh, it's great. I salmon has been my go-to. I love salmon nowadays, and it bakes so well in the oven. It's so easy. You just put it in foil. You put it in the oven for 15 minutes, 350 degrees, and it comes out great. I'm a big fan. Healthy, too.
And very, very healthy, Dave.
I love it. I think... As long as the money allows, it's not that expensive. I intend to do this more often because, gosh, I mean, it just tastes so good. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. And like I said, it's a tremendously healthy. It should be a part of everyone's diet at least once a week. Salmon is a very important. It's very healthy.
Yep. I hope that I can do that. I haven't been that regular with it yet. I started this week, but I would be more than happy to pursue, additional salmon every week, like once a week. I eat salmon. That'd be just a great. That'd be a great time. That'd be a great life for me. And so, with respect to salmon, there's many different types. There's king salmon. There's the Atlantic fillet, and I think that's the regular one. Basically, that's what I get. And then there's this one called sockeye, which is what I wanted to ask you about because it's a little redder. And in our store, it's previously frozen. So what is sockeye salmon? What is the difference? Like, what makes it so red?
It's just a different species of the fish. Wild salmon, which, on your coast in Washington State and Oregon and Alaska, you have just a few different species of fish. It's all salmon, sockeye salmon, king salmon. There's a thing called coho, which is COHO. It's just a different variations of the same kind of wild salmon. But yeah, the sockeye is a little redder. The king salmon is, as the name would, you would expect. It's just a bigger fish. They're all the same. They're all wild caught salmon. They come to spawn in the rivers and. They're all extremely healthy. There's a little variation of color, but otherwise it's pretty much the same species, just little variations, and you can't go wrong with any of them.
Oh, okay. So the texture is about the same when you cook it?
Yeah, you just have to look at the size. Like I said, like the king salmon sometimes is a little thicker.
Okay.
So you may have to add a couple minutes, but it's all terrific. You know, if you get it super fresh, you can, that stuff is... as fresh as can be, especially where you are out west, you can do that for sushi. I mean, you can cut that sucker open and just eat it raw.
That's pretty awesome. And you're right. We do have it pretty good here on the West Coast with salmon. It's very abundant and really usually decent prices. But the sockeye costs a little more. The king salmon costs a lot more, like three times the price.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Why is theirs? You said it was thicker. What are the reasons make it so expensive?
It's bigger fish.
Oh, just bigger.
Overall, it's a bigger fish. I get, if you can believe it, you know, as far as I am from you, what is it, 300 miles probably. I get king salmon overnighted to me in the market, and I get sockeye in the summer, and I get whole fish caught the morning before, you know, by the grace of FedEx overnight, and I get it, and I cut the fish myself and put it out in our display, usually on the weekends and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's still so fresh that I can eat it raw there. So I just can imagine how fresh it is when you guys get it over there on the west.
Pretty interesting. And I guess I would imagine that similar to lobster coming here to the west from the east, that the fact that you have to ship it so far probably adds to the price.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. There's a little difference. I mean, when I ship lobsters out to you guys out there in the west, you're getting a lobster that's still alive, you know. So anytime you kill something like the salmon, you know, once you kill it, you know, you got to start the clock on the freshness. So, yeah, anything overnighted is expensive. King salmon in my store is $5 a pound, which is by far the highest.
Oh yeah, that's a huge price, right? Where I am, that's $13.99 a pound, but that might be on special. So no matter where you are,
that sounds about right. I mean you just have to imagine it's pretty rare out here for
out
here to have a king.
Mm-hmm.
Wild king salmon. So not only are we going to have to pay for the shipping, you have to pay for the scarcity of, you know, so all, it's the oldest law in the book, supply and demand.
Absolutely. And so
not a lot of people have it, especially out here. Most people have it, but they have it frozen, and people get weird about frozen stuff. So I got it fresh, you know, from caught Thursday morning to my shop Friday afternoon. So I can, you know, it's one of those kind of things where, I don't like charging people $25 a pound for fish, but they buy it, so.
They buy it. I mean, that's the key, right? Supply and demand. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I don't get that much, you know, so I never want to have to throw something away that's that expensive. So I buy one fish, maybe two, you know, on the busy weekends, and I, you know, I cut it and I put it out there, and it goes. It goes in a day, so it's been working so far.
I gotcha. Yeah, I love talking. I mean, look, talking about salmon is just almost as good as eating it. It's the best. When you have salmon yourself, do you cook it by baking? Do you grill, or do you do something else?
I pretty much am exclusively a stovetop cast iron pan cooker.
Oh, okay. All right. That'll work with salmon, okay.
Partly because it's, you know, it's just me that I'm cooking for, so
right.
It's not a very large portion, so it's a half pound or less, and just kind of sear something for a minute or two, and then, yeah, I'm a big cast iron fan. It seems to cook more evenly and have a little more control and get a more sort of full flavor.
Oh, I gotcha. Now, do you cook that with the scales on, or you peel it off first before you put it on the cast iron?
With salmon, I keep the skin on one side on the salmon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's usually what they say to do.
Yeah, kind of helps it from drying out, you know, gives you a little, layer, like I said, so you don't, you know, kind of helps you from not drying out the fish. Maybe, you know, I kind of put it on for like a minute or two on the meat side, and then finish it for on the skin side for a
That's cool, man. That's cool. Now, our friend a couple quickies brought up something that was really interesting regarding salmon, and we'll get to that in one of his random questions tonight. So let's start it formally with Kevin on the Cape. So we have about 45 minutes of random questions. If you have a question for us, write the word question followed by the question itself. We'll answer it in order, continuing through our second hour. So good to have you with us tonight. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday, not the normal day. We will not be here tomorrow night. I am going to be at my sister's graduation, and you know, if I got to be honest, I mean, it's just going to be kind of sitting there, kind of waiting. The name gets called eventually, but you got to kind of sit through a lot of other names that don't relate to you. Graduations, you know, that's just how it is. Don't you wish they could be shorter? Wouldn't that be nice if it just everybody just stand up? Okay, you graduated. All right. That would be nice. I would have liked it, too, if I was graduating myself. That would have been a lot less effort.
Is this a high school graduation or a college?
No, college graduation. So it may not be as long, but it's still long. I mean, any graduation is going to take a while.
Yeah. They used to do, from what I remember, we used to have, or like my friends, they'd have two graduations where, you know, Friday, the whole school, you know, 30,000 people, and they would just call you, like, your department, like, and the business school graduates, and like 3,000 kids would stand up. You're like, well, that's kind of weird. But then the next day, they'd have, like, the more personal one, and they'd all break up into little small groups so the parents can see you walk up and get your diploma, that kind of thing.
That's neat. That's good. But, yeah, I mean, it takes time, right? I mean, it's sort of like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all for the, you know, they're like, hey, you just spent $200,000 on your degree, so we're gonna have you call your name, and that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't go to my college graduations. I can't speak to that.
All right, fair enough, Jack Ban. Let's get to the questions. All right, question number one from a couple quickies. Did the Junkman have a background in seafood before getting into his seafood gig?
Absolutely not.
So you have accrued quite a lot of knowledge about the trade of seafood.
Absolutely zero.
Wow.
Where I grew up, our seafood was tuna fish in a can.
I like it.
Yeah, where I grew up in New York, the only body of water we had near us was the Hudson River, and you would never want to eat anything out of that.
No, Dad, I just totally get it. Totally get
it. It didn't stop us, you know, in the neighborhood from fishing out of it, but they had, like, you know, weird fish with, like, three eyes, or they would be, like, purple, and because of the nuclear power plants that were in the Hudson. But
yeah.
I would fish as a kid, but we would never eat the damn thing.
I dig. Do you think anyone's going to build a nuclear power plant now? I mean, there's just been so many problems with it. So many issues, environmental hazards, explosions, disasters, tragedies. It's just like, has that thing run its course? I always thought about that. I honestly don't know the answer, but I was thinking aloud.
I mean, hey, they'll be around until someone tells.
Right.
Until you get, you know, they're going to be around. I mean, every
time.
They'll
be around.
At least over here.
Mm-hmm. Will they build new ones, I guess? This is my question. Like, will they want to build a new one knowing what we know now? Is sort of my question.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so?
There's going to be, I bet you there's a state somewhere that is looking for an alternative source. And just from out here, you know, they want to put, you know, wind turbines in the ocean, and they want to do this and that, and it gets voted down every year. So the energy's got to come from somewhere.
Why does it get voted down every year? Like, who are these guys that are voting it down?
The most hysterical part about this area is that it'll get voted down by. So you would think, hey, environmentalists want the wind energy and the wind power.
Yeah.
But the environmentalists are the ones that voted down because
what?
The seabirds get caught in out on the ocean. They fly into the propellers. Or the whales have to swim around the proposed farm, and the whales are going to get caught in this thing. It's such a weird, strange give and take by people who want the this energy that's not nuclear, that's not from NSTAR or these power companies, but then they say, well, the birds are going to be affected, or the whales, so we have to put it in a new place. And the company who's from Denmark or something, who's spending $1 billion, is like, no, this is where we're putting it. If you don't like it, we're not going to put it there. It's a very strange... I don't know enough about it, you know, to talk intelligently about it. I'm just saying it from sort of an outsider's perspective of what I read and hear and stuff. But it's pretty interesting how the people who want it there, or the people who want it to exist, they don't want it, you to put it where it needs to be.
That's...
They want you to put it like way out in the middle of the ocean. They're like, well,
yeah, you have to compromise somewhere. So oh my goodness!
Right, exactly. And people—it doesn't seem like people want to do that.
Wow. Jeez.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
So, I'm just more of like a cynical person, where it's just I don't think it'll ever be done, just because there's so many things in play and there's so many people who have input. But you know, I guess that's a democracy. You know, that a lot of people get to have their say and stuff. And but yeah, we've hit this thing that's called Cape Wind. It's a project that they've been trying to put turbines out in the water for ever since I lived up here. And they've got all this money behind it, and it just keeps getting pushed back. And this group protests, and this group doesn't want this, and what doesn't want to go there. So it, to me, I just put it in the back of my mind, like it's never going to happen.
I see. Well, I mean, it's a realistic opinion, to be honest. So let's get to our next question, and random questions. So on a lighter note, very light, what are your thoughts about cedar plank salmon? And apparently what it is that it's a method for cooking it. I'm not fully clear on what it is myself, but I'm assuming that you put the salmon on the cedar plank, and then that's how it grills or something? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Dave. You're right on.
Wow. Sounds pretty crazy. Sounds pretty exciting.
Not really. It's pretty simple, actually. We sell them in my store. It sort of adds to a flavor, you know. You think about cedar. You walk into I know some people have, like, cedar closets where they store their clothes. Or if you walk into a cigar store, you know, the humidors are usually built with a cedar wood. It's just a really nice, full kind of aroma, and it adds to a little texture of, I don't think it really affects the fish, as far as, besides sort of, it has a little flavor, I think, to it, but it's another cool little technique, you know. You don't, like I said, you don't burn the fish, because you got a little space, a little half inch space between the flame and your fish, so.
Right.
No, it's definitely a nice way of cooking it.
So wait, so it doesn't go on the wood directly, right? Because otherwise I would worry about splinters. But it's like in the grill?
No, it does go on the wood directly.
Oh, it does go on the wood directly.
You don't have to worry about splinters.
No?
It's not like a broken down piece of wood. This is like a block of wood.
Oh, okay. So it's more solid.
These are expensive. This is a well-made, handmade, you know, maybe 5 inches wide and a half inch thick. I mean, if you splinter this block, you're doing something wrong. Like you're either taking a corkscrew. You're taking a corkscrew to it because you're completely drunk and you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
You're not gonna mess this piece of wood up. I mean, okay. It's like a piece of marble, putting it on a grill. You're not gonna destroy it. You're not gonna chip it.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. So basically, it hovers over the flame, and then you get this nice aroma attached to the fish. That sounds pretty good, and like you said, it sounds easy too.
Yeah, very easy. It's a nice way.
So if the flame gets generated, but what's generating the flame? Is the mesquite generating the flame? Is that the coal generated flame? Is it just a gas grill that provides the flame? That's the next question. Is it coal?
Yeah, whatever you're using for heat.
Oh, okay.
You want to get that block nice and warm.
Nice. So the block gets warm too. Ah, it's very good.
Yeah.
Cool. That's really cool. That's kind of neat. It's kind of like, you know, like when you make iron, you get the iron really, really hot, so it kind of turns orange, and then you can just like pound it and meld it and all that. And that's kind of like what's happening with the wood, right? Like the wood gets like kind of orangey and really, really hot.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it turns orange.
Oh, okay, yeah, it doesn't turn orange, but it does get hot. Okay. Well, that is a really good comprehensive breakdown of cedar wood, cedar plank salmon. I like it. So, thanks for the question. A couple quickies. We look forward to other questions tonight. Write the word question followed by the question itself, and we will answer them in the next 35 minutes. It's a good time. It's a good time. Mets lose to the Dodgers tonight. The final score 9-4. The reason I bring it up is because we wanted to tie that loose end regarding the game we were talking about in the first hour with Jerry and Piscataway. But they were playing. Mets have a series against the Dodgers this week at Citi Field, and that was game number one. Dodgers, I'm not worried about them. I don't know if I made that clear in the first hour, but I'm not worried about that team. I just felt like it was going to take a while for them to get everything in gear. The hitting seems fine, not great. It's got its injuries. AJ Ellis is out. I hear that Juan Uribe got hurt tonight, so they're not at full strength. But the bullpen has been the principal problem. And I think that's correctable. So I really think the Dodgers will have a run in them next month. Just right now, they're a 500 team. It's pretty much what I thought would happen. I'm not saying, ah, this is bad. This is gonna suck. Blah blah blah. I don't think they're that bad. I think they're a good team. I mean, I think that you see the roster on paper. You just got to get everybody together, and you got to get some better guys to fill in the 6th through 8th innings. You do that, I think they're in good shape. That's it. I didn't have anything further. People were writing off the Red Sox, too. Is that pretty much... Well, you said they're not making the playoffs, right, Junkie?
Yeah, no, they're done.
They're done?
This was a total panic move, signing Steven Drew. That was ridiculous.
Did they really do that? Oh, my gosh, really? Steven Drew?
Oh, you missed that one today?
That happened today?
Yeah, Steven Drew.
Wow.
$10 million.
Jeez. $10 million for that guy? I didn't think he was that good. It's like a 290 hitter, maybe, with like 8 home runs.
Oh, not even. No, I'd say 260. I could be wrong. But
you know, it's
definitely not 290.
Probably not 290. Okay, so Steven. Yeah, I mean, in Arizona, there you go. Steven Drew signs 10. Is that for 1 year? Man.
Yeah, he was on, you know, he was with them last year when they won the World Series, but he probably did, like you said, he probably did 265 with 10 home runs and 60 RBI, maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah, like 260, 260 with about, you know, anywhere from about, you know, like 5 to 15 home runs, but it usually averages right around 15, like maybe like 12. So, yeah, now that's pretty much on the money. 60 RBIs, somewhere between 10 and 13 home runs. Not that great. It's just not that impressive. So, yes, it does sound like a panic move by Boston as they defend their championship, believe it or not. Doesn't seem like a defending championship team, but here you are. Yeah, not much to say. And I'm sure this is great news for you. In your case, the Boston Bruins are eliminated from the playoffs in the NHL. So that's good news for the junk man because he could care less about the hockey.
Thank God. Enough hockey talk and stupid radio stations up here.
I figured as much. I figured they were really getting into it, and now it's over. And that's just it's a pretty big disappointment for the Boston Bruins. They were big. There were big things expected out of them. And it almost seemed, it seemed evident to me they were going to make the Cup final again. And they didn't even come close. They didn't even get to the conference final. So, yeah, that's pretty much a disappointment to me because they looked like the team to beat in that conference. And then you had Montreal go in there, take 2 games on their home ice, And that pretty much told the story. So, all right, so that's that. Now let's get to our next question, random questions. I'm Dave Medina. Question number three. Is the junk man worried about Fukushima sushi from the Pacific or BP oil fish from the Gulf?
Interesting question. That's a very relevant and very good question. As a human being, I'm worried about both things. The oil spill was a horrendous thing in the Gulf, and the Japanese nuclear meltdown is currently affecting some seafood, not all of it, over by your neck of the woods. In California, it's sort of reached. It's not really attacked a lot of the fish that the people consume. It's kind of attacked some smaller things like starfish and squid and things like that. I'm not concerned about it as a market manager here because we don't deal with those kind of fish. We don't buy those kind of fish. We don't sell that kind of fish. But I would say I would be concerned about it as just a consumer of a worldwide kind of seafood industry, because there are certain things cropping up in the coast of California and certain small species are being affected. And if you look at it, you know, food chain wise, the big fish, you know, eat the small fish, you know, it's just common sense. So it could be a problem down the road. They're seeing some smaller effects of it now, and it could grow into larger effects down the road.
Yeah, it's a great comment about the food chain. I mean, people eat, they eat. I mean, there's no way to stop it. So, like, what do you do? Are we all going to be mutants in about 3 decades?
Yeah, I mean, that's the entire thing. When people talk about, when you hear certain people talk about, oh, I don't eat certain fish because it has mercury in it. All fish has mercury in it. It's in the ocean. It's just that the larger fish have more of it because you've got a little fish is eaten by a bigger fish is eaten by a bigger fish is eaten by a bigger fish. So the bigger fish is going to have all the mercury that he's eaten from all the other fish. So you have to, it's just the common sense of the food chain going, you know, climbing the ladder. You know, of course the swordfish is going to have more mercury in it because he's eaten the codfish who ate, you know, the mackerel, who's eaten the herring. You know, it's just the whole kind of thing. So you just have to be smart about it and not, I mean, they always say if you know pregnant women or children shouldn't eat certain things, you know, growing kind of people. But yeah, the stuff that happened in Japan is certainly affecting the Pacific. But like I said, right now their only traces are of it in the smaller species. So it just definitely has to be watched out for.
I don't know. Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, I guess it doesn't affect land food yet because I don't know if the food chain thing applies. Maybe you have insects, grass, insects, little dogs, big dogs. I don't know if that really is the same thing. Do cows eat dogs? Like, do cows eat chickens?
Definitely don't eat big dogs.
Okay. All right.
That'd be weird.
That would be weird. That's why I thought it was odd. It definitely happens with fish, but I don't remember it happening with mammals or other land-breeding animals. So that's what I was thinking about right now. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we've had pollution for, like, centuries. So maybe our fears could be overstated with respect to how it's going to affect, like, humans in terms of what the fish quality will be like, but it's still you're still frightening. You got to think about it, watch out for it, and hopefully environmental agencies and the FDA will have a beat on that too.
Oh yeah, if I'm going to put my faith in anything, it's a government organization.
Well, you know what I mean, though. I mean, it's people trying to protect us from getting cancer. I think I'm all for that. I am all for that. Health is good. And you know, just going back full circle, salmon does a great job of, on a general level, assuming it's healthy, does a great job of protecting against bad diseases. So I think that's cool. Do you feel a little extra lubricated when you eat a salmon? Because it's got all that great, what is that, omega-3 fat?
Omega-3 fatty acids, Dave. That'll extend your life for 10 years.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to keep a note of that and keep going with the salmon. My mom would feed me salmon once in a while when I was a kid. But she liked to put breadcrumbs on it. Do you put things on salmon, or do you just season it? Like, what do you do with salmon when you cook it?
No, I don't do the breadcrumbs anymore. I just...
What?
The fish itself is so...
Yeah.
So wonderful.
I agree. I totally agree. What would be the advantage? What would have been the advantage of doing breadcrumbs?
I think for a child, it definitely makes it... You know, when parents try to get their kids to eat seafood, the kids don't usually take to it. It does, you know, the fishy taste. It doesn't taste like chicken, blah, blah, blah. So I think breadcrumbs is a way that they can kind of not just trick the kids' taste buds into having something a little more healthy, even though, you know, the breadcrumbs cancel a little bit of that out. But I just think that's an adult way of making a child eat a little more fish in their diet.
Oh, I gotcha. That's an interesting observation. I like that. Yeah.
Kind of trick. I mean, I have no idea. This is just me rambling. It's not any sort of culinary or scientific proof, but I just think maybe it kind of makes the kid it's a little nicer on his palate, you know, for a young kid.
Interesting. Yeah. Because you can, when you make things appear or feel like they're fried, it does seem more palatable to children.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, didn't you like fried food more than other food?
No.
No, you didn't. Oh, but you were raised a little bit more healthily though. Because I remember you said you weren't big on candy or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't really have a choice. I wasn't big on it or little on it. I just never had it.
So.
Yeah, but we didn't have. I didn't have anything fried as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's that worked. I'm sure that'll end up saving a couple years of your life. You'll live like a little extra longer for that happening. Do you like fried food today, or did that ever develop, or are you just kind of not into it?
Not at all.
Not the worst thing. Not the worst thing in the world. That's probably it's better. You're better off that way. It's like, well, I never smoke. Well, you're better off for that too.
Yeah, I think I've sort of counteracted the healthy way I was brought up by the. The booze and the cigars. I think that sort of eliminated any extra years that I may have gained from my parents' influence as a young child.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I mean, cigars and alcohol will also take away life from you. So it's a little give and take. But you enjoyed it. That's the thing. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, I'm going to live to be 108, but... If you don't enjoy your years, if you don't savor in the indulgences once in a while, then is life worth living?
Remember how you used to do bold predictions with your buddies from out west?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a bold prediction and say I'm not going to make it to 108.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, I don't. It'd be hard to get to 108. That would be remarkable. Getting 100 even is tough. So yeah, no, I think that's decent. I think that's a decent prediction. Probably a safe bet. That goes for anybody really. But yeah, good deal. All right, next question. Random questions tonight. Has the junk man romanced any tourists? I think I know the answer, but let's get your response.
Well, hold on. I think a more interesting response would be, what do you think?
Well, I thought you mentioned one time you had like someone come in the store and you had a thing for her, and so I believe the answer is yes.
Really? I don't remember that story. Did you make that up?
You're talking about how somebody came in, trying to sell some product. I forget who it was, and the lady was apparently very gorgeous. But maybe it wasn't a tourist.
No, I do remember this. And she is absolutely phenomenal, but she's not a tourist. She's just a saleswoman.
Okay. So that wouldn't necessarily count, right?
She was just a regular saleswoman from vendors that people in my line of work deal with all the time, but this was a woman that's completely different.
Okay.
From any other saleswoman I've ever seen.
I have
not romanced any tourists. I haven't really romanced many people, so I'm not the kind. All right, put it this way: I'm that kind of guy in the vacation town who the tourists come in and you're corny and you don't hit on them, but you're friendly and you're nice to them and you make them feel special and you make you say little comments that are completely harmless. But no, I never go past the whole your fish market guy and you're here on vacation kind of relationship. I don't slide my phone number across the counter or say hey, we go to this bar on Fridays, you guys should take your crew out and come visit. I just don't do that. I think that's a little, I've always kind of thought that was a little crossing the line of the relationship of, I think maybe I'm just too old fashioned or too, I don't know what the word is, but I don't cross that hitting on tourist line. And so I've been hit on by tourists. I'm not going to, but it's just something that I'm here. I have a reputation in this town now and this company now. So I don't know. Maybe it'd be more fun if I just hit on every good looking tourist, but it's just something I don't do.
Well, I think it's a conflict of interest is what it represents. So, but it's nice to know that people have been hitting on you. Wow, junk man, you're suave. Ho-ho. I love it.
So. Yeah, well, most of them are 70-year-old ladies.
Oh, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Well, but it's something. It's something. I mean, better than nothing. But, yeah, okay. Fair enough. Okay, next question. Random questions with Kevin on the Cape. It's interesting. All these questions have been Junkman related. Junk centric questions to start our hour. It's pretty good. So let's think.
Well, we're getting into the season, Dave. So things are starting to pick up. So maybe my life is more interesting now than it was in February.
I would say so. I mean, it's a prime time for not only fruit but fish too. I mean, fish is. A lot of fish could be in season. Like, what is... You were saying something about when fish was in season. But didn't you say something like the winter was actually a good time? So maybe I have it wrong.
No, it just depends on what you're looking for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, here we don't have seasons for certain things. But they're always available, but... Yeah, there are seasons for things out here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But definitely a prime season for fruit. I mean, everything you want is just about available. Peaches haven't come into full form yet. Probably one more month and they'll be in perfect shape. Right now they're kind of tiny, so they're still growing into their own. So it takes usually you have like a 2-month window for prime peaches. Like the peaches are at their best in June and July, I think. Maybe even August. And then it slowly starts to shrink again. September, October, November. Maybe by November it's kind of dying, So it's been a long time since we've had like serious peaches, and we're getting close. So I'm very excited right now. I bought some yesterday, and they're pretty good. But they're little. So we're going to wait for them to get bigger, and that time will come pretty soon. All right. Oh, ha ha! Quickies has asked more details on this vendor, the vendor you're talking about that was selling you, the one that was really gorgeous.
I'll send him a link to her Instagram account. He won't be sorry.
Oh my goodness, Instagram. There you go. That'll
yeah, and I wasn't even really sure what that website was.
Mm-hmm.
Through some research and some younger people telling me what it was about, I found her, and she has a web page or whatever you want to call it. I'll send the link. It's not porn or anything. It's just like I think they're just people who post their pictures of whatever they're doing for the day. It seemed kind of silly, but I think it's sort of like a small version. I mean, do you know what it is? Am I
what,
totally
Instagram?
Screwing it up?
I don't know. I don't have a full. You know, I'm not. Some of these things I'm not quite up on, but it's kind of like Twitter.
Yeah, it's
with
not like Facebook.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's Twitter. It's not Facebook. It's sort of just photos with a caption.
Right. It's like if Twitter was just the photos, and that's.
Yeah, it's just a photo like, hey, here's me and my friend out having Bloody Marys, and it's just photos. It's not really that interesting, except if you stumble across my sales rep and her page. And part of it, Dave, and Mr. A Couple of Quickies, is that you don't see women like her out here. You see them in July and August, of course, and you see them all over the place. But in February, when your boss says, "Hey, so and so is going to show up, and they're going to try to sell you some stuff," you have a meeting at 2:00. And you're like, "Oh, great! This is going to be awful. Some fat balding guy is going to show up and try to sell me paper goods." And then this girl shows up, and you're like, "Can I help you?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I have a meeting with Kevin." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." I'm like, "What?" And then basically you buy everything that she has in her entire catalog because you just want her to stay there longer. It's like, so I don't understand why you want to buy office equipment, because this isn't really, I'm like, "Well, you know, I could use a good desk and I can use some chairs." And and she's just baffled at. And I got a little in trouble by, you know, the bill that I sent the company to pay for. But, you know, overall, I think it was worth it.
Yeah, that's great. Now is she about our age? Because I know I'm like low 30s. You're like mid to late 30s.
She is your age.
My age, exactly.
She's not my age.
Okay.
She's your age.
It's not a huge difference, though. But good to know. Good to know. It was Junkman. Junkie, we are about a month away from meeting in person. I hope you can make it to this affair in Sanford, Connecticut, about a month from now, the 19th of June. And if you can make it, it would truly be...
I'm working on it. I've been training two new people that are very, very capable and have a lot of potential. So which is why I've been working 75 hours a week. I've been trying to...
Wow.
Train some new people and make my life a little suffering to suffer now, make my life a little better in the summer. Got a young girl and an older guy who both of it seem pretty capable of running the shop for a day or two if I leave. So I'm thinking, like I said, it's been a little rough the last few weeks, but I think things will pay off, you know, in the summertime.
Well, I tell you what, stay with it. And I'm really happy for you trying to get yourself a little relief. I mean, I think it's totally worth it, and I'm wishing the best of luck. And I just hope these guys are not total clowns. I hope they can get the job done so that you can do things like come out to Stanford once in a while and meet your buddies. It's a good time. That's awesome, man. That is so cool. I'm so glad that you're trying to make the arrangements. That really means a lot. I think we all are pretty excited to see you. And there'll be a number of us there at Bobby V's, and I'll see if we can get like a room or something to have everybody meet. So it should be good. All right. So next question. Here's a good one. How many Cape Cod baseball games do you attend each year?
Oh man, that question kind of hurts because it is one of the single greatest things about this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get there nearly enough. When I first moved up here, I would say I'd get to 10 or 12 a summer. And
mm-hmm.
I think last year I saw 3 innings of a game.
Wow.
It's pretty sad.
Just
with how busy I get, but it is one of the greatest things about it, being here. So that's a good question, because it reminds Orleans, where I am out here, we don't have actually a town that has a team. Orleans is the closest one. It's not far from here. It's like 15 miles away, but it's a tremendous night. It's a cool environment. It's a cool experience. So yeah, I certainly would like to get to more of them, but not as much as I would like to.
That's pretty cool, though. Something else to look forward to when you're out in the Cape. Good thinking by a couple quickies with that question. Next question, random questions tonight. Can Junkman update us on his neighbors who asked him to jump his car 3 times in a week?
Oh, you know what? That is a whoever asked that must have had a either has a I don't know, just has great insight, because the guy who asked me to jump his car has not lived here for at least 6 weeks. I haven't
really
seen him. But I got home tonight and there's a cop in my parking space, which is, odd. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I pay my taxes, and I don't cause any trouble. And he's asking for this guy. He's asking for this guy's name is, I'm not going to say his last name, but his first name is Donovan. He's like, he lives here. This is his address. I'm like, well, no, he lives downstairs. It's a different apartment. And the guy's serving him with papers. He's looking for the guy to serve him with papers.
Whoa.
So this guy turned out to be, yeah. So he left. I can still see it on my. He left the papers there because he goes, well, I have to sign this and say that I left it here. It was like a sheriff or something, and I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm not signing for it. I'm not going to be responsible for this. But if you want to leave it here, you can go ahead. Go crazy. But I haven't seen the guy in 6 weeks.
What do they want him for again? Serve papers for what? Subpoena or something?
It's a warrant. It's a warrant for child support.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I guess that maybe not. That's, yep. He's on the run. Whoever that guy is on the run. I won't press that any further. I'll leave the rest of that to your imagination. Wow, though. Wow. Checkered past, apparently.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Child support, that is definitely not me. I'm like, I don't want any part of this.
That would have been the shocker of shockers if you had child support owed. Oh, man. Nothing against you, of
exactly.
course, obviously, but just saying.
No, of course not. If I had a child somewhere, I would pay the money. I mean, I'm not a complete degenerate. I mean, come on.
I think that's a decent point. All right, so.
The cop was cool because he had the description, obviously, of that, the mother had given him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at me and he goes, yeah, you don't look like a 5'8", 130-pound Jamaican. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not me.
Wow. Yeah. 530-pound. Wow, that's crazy. Anyway, you kind of filled in some of the imagination already, I guess, with that description. But anyway, that's pretty funny. Anyhow, let's get to our next question. If you come over to Stamford, would you consider staying the night someplace? Because there are some pretty cheap motels around there.
We'd definitely have to stay the night. That's a pretty far drive.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Cool beans. So let us consider a potential breakfast the next morning, and we could chat just like we do here on the podcast. Depends on when you wake up, though, right? So maybe I wouldn't put too much pressure on.
Well, it doesn't really matter when you wake up. You can have breakfast whenever.
Hey, there you go. I love it, Junkman. Okay, so This is a good idea. It's a thought. It's a thought. People really excited to meet you. Quickies is hoping that he can be around sometime. He says he cannot make the 19th, but the 20th may be in play. Interesting thought. We'll consider. Okay, so, well, I guess that's it. We have 5 minutes to go on the show. And as I've said, as I've asked one from time to time, do you have any questions for me, Junkie?
About the NBA draft lottery, Dave.
You know, it's just proven once again, the NBA just, I mean, I said it off air, and I'll say it again. It is a joke. I mean, how can you have the Cleveland Cavaliers? I mean, I'm not saying that they programmed it, because obviously they didn't. They wouldn't want to have the same team getting the draft number one pick every year. But, I mean, how could the same team get the number one draft pick like 4 out of 5 years? I mean, it's just, and they still suck. It's just like, what is the story with the Cavs?
That's the story, that they still suck.
It's unbelievable. How bad is this league? Like, you got four teams that are always bad, and they're never going anywhere. It's just like, you just don't see that in other sports. Maybe baseball, but even like in baseball, you'll have like one of those bad teams be sort of good for a year. But the NBA, it's just like the Magic, the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Cavs. 2 years ago, they were awful. 3 years ago, they were awful. And it just seems like things do not change with these teams. It's just frustrating. I mean, the NFL, such a competitive league.
Dave, can we seriously take all the sports out of Cleveland, please?
That's not the Cleveland fans' fault, though. I mean, it's like these organizations are run by total dunderheads.
Right. Well, and so the fans, they should just revolt. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Their entire city is horrendous.
I agree. Cleveland, you know, their fans are pretty loyal. I think they deserve better. Or maybe they should start to take a stand where the wallet is and start to maybe they should just start boycotting their own teams.
Yeah, you know what? That's a total different topic. But you always hear about, it's a great sports town. Or you hear that about, but you always hear that about towns that have horrendous teams. You know, like, what makes it a great sports town? You know, that they like to get beat over the head with a hammer every year, every night. You know, you heard that about the Pirates for, what was it, 20 years?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great sports town. Mm-hmm. So what makes a great sports town? The fact that these people are so numb and stupid that they just prefer to get a giant brick dropped on their head every year and they're okay with it?
Right.
I don't understand that.
It's a good question. That is a good question. And on that interesting question, we sign off tonight. Junkie,
yeah, Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, great sports town, great fans. The team has been terrible for 20 years.
You're right. They have
what
not.
Does that get you? So being a great sports town gets you beat over the head, and I'm not really sure what else.
Mm-hmm. 90 seconds.
Yeah, is it worth it? Like, want to be called a good sports town, or do you want to win? Like, it's sort of like in L.A.,
yeah.
We want to win. Like, you know, we don't care.
Right,
if
yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly. maybe someone can explain that to me sometime. I don't know.
Hopefully we can get an explanation next week. So for now, Junkman, Junkie, Kevin, been fun. Let's ponder that question. We'll get back at it next week.
60 seconds.
You got it, man.
All right, buddy. All right, thanks. Take care, Junkman. That's our show tonight. And major thanks to Kevin on the Cape for coming in on a Tuesday. Really kind of him. Also, thanks to Jerry and Piscataway. And thanks to everybody listening tonight. I'm Dave Medina. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Enjoy Wednesday. Enjoy your NHL and NBA playoffs. We'll see you next time.